The war in Ukraine is frequently portrayed in Western media as simply a conflict between two countries, Russia and Ukraine. But in reality, many Western analysts and even some government officials have acknowledged that this is a proxy war, and the evidence is growing, showing that the United States, and in particular, the Central Intelligence Agency, have used Ukraine for years in order to wage a proxy war against Russia. And this did not begin in February of 2022 with this new phase of the war. Rather, for a decade now, the US has been using Ukraine as a base for destabilization operations targeting Moscow. This was spelled out in great detail this February in a long article that was published in the New York Times titled "The Spy War: How the CIA Secretly Helps Ukraine Fight Putin." And the article notes that for more than a decade, the United States has nurtured a secret intelligence partnership with Ukraine that is crucial for both countries in countering Russia. This article explains how the CIA is very deeply involved in overseeing this war. And a bit later in the analysis today, I'm going to go through in greater detail looking at this article. But I want to point out a very important fact here. And this article in the New York Times quotes the former head of Ukraine's domestic intelligence agency, the SBU. And he said in this article that without the CIA, without the help of the US government and the CIA, quote, "there would have been no way for us to resist the Russians or to beat them." So this is a top Ukrainian official acknowledging that without US support, without the CIA, Ukraine would not be able to wage this war with Russia. This is a smoking gun that shows that the war in Ukraine is a proxy war, not simply between Russia and Ukraine, but between Russia and NATO. And of course, NATO is led by the United States. But before I analyze this New York Times report in greater detail, I want to provide more context. And today I'm going to look at some of the other evidence that has been growing in mainstream media outlets that shows that the CIA, the US military, and other spy agencies and special operations forces from other Western governments in NATO have been using Ukraine as a base of operations to wage proxy war against Russia for years. Now, this issue is very relevant because this February, the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz revealed that the UK and France both have soldiers on the ground in Ukraine, and they are training Ukrainian soldiers in how to use long-range missile systems that they provided to Ukraine. In response to this revelation by the German Chancellor, Russia released audio recordings in which German military officials admit that British and French soldiers are on the ground in Ukraine. And this is the Guardian newspaper, the mainstream newspaper in Britain, reporting on this. And it notes that Germany confirmed the recording as authentic. And in the recording, you can hear the head of the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, who discusses how Berlin's long-range Taurus missiles could be used to try to blow up the bridge connecting Russia and Crimea. And this German military officer describes how Britain works with Ukraine on deploying Storm Shadow missiles against targets up to 150 miles behind Russian lines. So those revelations are very important, but they were not the first revelations. In fact, we've had a series of reports for 2 years now showing Western government direct involvement in the proxy war in Ukraine. In June 2022, just a few months into this new phase of the war, the New York Times published an article titled "Commando Network Coordinates Flow of Weapons in Ukraine." It reveals that multiple Western governments had special operations forces inside Ukraine. Furthermore, CIA personnel continued to operate in the country, directing the massive amounts of intelligence the US is sharing with Ukrainian forces. They are there along with not only US special operations forces, but also commandos from other NATO countries, including Britain, France, Canada, and Lithuania, and the New York Times said that they are training and advising Ukrainian troops and providing an on-the-ground conduit for weapons and other aid. Then in 2023, the BBC, British state media, reported further evidence that showed that Western Special Operations Forces were on the ground in Ukraine. They said that these included Special Operations Forces from the UK, the US, France, Latvia, and the Netherlands. Also in 2023, ABC News reported that the US military had Special Operations Forces working in the US Embassy in Ukraine. I'm reading here from ABC News, quote, "A small U.S. military special operations team has been based at the U.S. Embassy in Kiev since early in the war in Ukraine." And this shows, by the way, when the U.S. talks about diplomacy, what's actually happening is that the U.S. uses its embassy for operations to destabilize foreign governments using the military and the CIA, as we will see a bit later here when I look at the New York Times report. But before I do that, I want to briefly look at two other reports published by Yahoo News by a journalist, Zach Dorfman, who's very close to U.S. spy agencies. Many of these journalists, you know, they're friendly with U.S. spy agencies who give them these stories. These are known as controlled leaks or managed leaks, where these spy agencies use the media as a conduit for their own propaganda war. Now, this article is interesting because it was published in January 2022, before Russia sent any troops in to Ukraine, which was in February 2022. So a month before, Yahoo News published this article titled, "CIA-trained Ukrainian paramilitaries may take central role if Russia invades." I'm reading from the article, quote, "The CIA is overseeing a secret intensive training program in the U.S. for elite Ukrainian special operations forces and other intelligence personnel. The program started in 2015 and is based at an undisclosed facility in the southern U.S. I repeat, this operation began in 2015. And then after Russia invaded in March 2022, Yahoo News published a follow-up article titled, "Secret CIA Training Program in Ukraine Helped Kiev Prepare for Russian Invasion." And it notes that the CIA created a covert training program run from Ukraine's eastern front lines. This is in the separatist areas, the ethnic Russian areas inside Ukraine, the Donbass. And this article notes that the CIA operation began soon after the Ukrainian government was overthrown in 2014. They don't mention that it was a US-backed coup that overthrew Ukraine's democratically elected, geopolitically neutral president, Viktor Yanukovych. So soon after the neutral government was overthrown in Ukraine and a pro-Western regime was installed, the CIA initiated this operation, and the US military helped to run a long-standing, publicly acknowledged training program for Ukrainian troops. Now, CIA paramilitaries first traveled to Eastern Ukraine in the aftermath of 2014 of this coup, and then the Russian move into Crimea, which historically had been part of Russia and was only transferred to Ukraine as a bureaucratic move when both Ukraine and Russia were part of the same country, the Soviet Union. Now, in this article, it notes that the CIA, after this 2014 coup, was sent to train Ukrainian Special Operations Forces personnel in their fight against the Russian military and separatist allies in the Donbass. So the CIA was helping to train Ukrainians in their fight against fellow Ukrainians, ethnic Russian Ukrainians in the east of the country, going back to 2014. So what I'm really emphasizing here is that the United States has been involved from very early on in this conflict, exacerbating it, pushing for proxy war on Russia. And for decades, U.S. diplomats, U.S. politicians have known that they could cause a civil war in Ukraine that could lead to a Russian invasion. This was admitted by the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, William Burns, who today is the director of the CIA. I wrote an article about that over at geopoliticaleconomy.com, and I will link to that in the description below. But back in 2008, when he was U.S. ambassador to Russia, he published a confidential embassy cable titled Niet means Niet. Niet is no in Russian. So no means no. Russia's NATO enlargement red lines. We only have this document thanks to WikiLeaks, whose founder Julian Assange is being tortured in a British prison, according to the UN expert on torture, and is facing being imprisoned in the United States for the rest of his life for the so-called crime of doing journalism. And in this embassy cable, William Burns wrote that Russia's foreign minister Lavrov and other senior officials have reiterated strong opposition to Ukraine joining NATO, stressing that Russia would view further eastward expansion of NATO as a military threat. And he was speaking of the 2008 Bucharest summit, the NATO summit in Romania, in which US President George Bush insisted that Ukraine and Georgia, both former parts of the Soviet Union, were going to join NATO. And in that summit, by the way, France and Germany were angry and criticized the US because they were afraid it could set off a war in Ukraine, which is, of course, exactly what happened. Now, William Burns, in this embassy cable, he wrote, this is back in 2008, he wrote, quote, in Ukraine, these include fears that the issue, that is NATO expansion, quote, could potentially split the country in two, leading to violence or even some claim civil war, which would force Russia to decide whether to intervene. And this is exactly what happened. The US backed a coup in Ukraine in 2014 that overthrew the democratically elected, geopolitically neutral president and installed a pro-Western regime, which set off a civil war, according to the United Nations. Between 2014 and the end of 2021, more than 14,000 Ukrainians died in the civil war fueled by the West. And then, after years of deliberating, the Russian military did decide to intervene, which is exactly what the US ambassador to Russia warned about in 2008. And today, he is the director of the CIA, which has played a key role in fueling the war in Ukraine. So this brings me back to the article with which I started today's analysis, published in the New York Times this February, titled The Spy War, How the CIA Secretly Helps Ukraine Fight Putin. There is a lot of very important information here that I'm going to go through because it provides a better understanding of this war. And we can see very clearly that this is a US proxy war in Ukraine against Russia. It is not simply a war between Russia and Ukraine. It is a proxy war between Russia and NATO. Now, I'll start pointing out that this article is by two journalists who are very friendly to the CIA, Adam Entus and Michael Schwartz. They're both anti-Russia hawks, and they have a long history of writing articles in the New York Times and other media outlets that are very sympathetic to US spy agencies. And this is how the media works. You get these journalists that make friendships and build contacts in spy agencies, and then the CIA and other US government agencies give them information in these controlled leaks, these managed leaks, and it's part of how the CIA uses the media as what a former CIA operative referred to as a mighty Wurlitzer. That is, the CIA plays the media like a musical instrument and uses the media to spread this information that makes it look good, but also is part of psychological warfare and information warfare against Russia. And of course, the New York Times in particular is very closely allied with the CIA and has been used for many years to spread disinformation. Of course, going back to the illegal US invasion of Iraq in 2003, in which the New York Times spread the lies that originated with the CIA, claiming that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. So the newspaper has a long history of being a mouthpiece for the CIA. And in this article, the spy agency boasts of how important its work has been in the proxy war in Ukraine. It notes that the CIA has helped to build subterranean bunkers, these giant bases underground in Ukraine, where Ukrainian soldiers track Russian spy satellites and eavesdrop on conversations between Russian commanders. these underground bunkers that were partially built and financed and equipped by the CIA are the secret nerve center of Ukraine's military. And this article describes the intelligence partnership between Washington and Kiev as the linchpin of Ukraine's ability to fight this war, noting that the CIA and other American intelligence agencies provide intelligence for targeted missile strikes, they track Russian troop movements, and help support spy networks. So a few important details to keep in mind here. The CIA is not only helping to spy on Russia, but specifically, it is helping for targeted missile strikes to kill Russian soldiers and to track Russian troop movements to attack Russian troops. The US is directly involved in the war and in killing Russians. And this article notes that the CIA operations took root a decade ago, years before Russia sent troops into Ukraine. And it was under three U.S. presidents. So, of course, that is Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden. This is a bipartisan operation. Now, the New York Times article reveals that this is part of a CIA-supported network of spy bases constructed in the past 8 years. So this goes back to 2016, and it includes 12 secret locations along the Russian border with Ukraine. So beginning in 2016, the CIA began training an elite Ukrainian commando force known as Unit 2245, which captured Russian drones and communications gear so the CIA technicians could reverse engineer them and crack Moscow's encryption systems. The CIA also helped to train a new generation of Ukrainian spies who operated inside Russia, across Europe, and in Cuba, and in other places where the Russians have a large presence. So the CIA has not only been using Ukrainians to fight a proxy war against Russia, the CIA has also been using Ukrainians to spy in Europe and in Cuba, in Latin America. This article notes that the relationship is so ingrained that CIA officers remained in Western Ukraine when the Biden administration evacuated U.S. diplomats in the weeks up to Russia's invasion in February of 2022. And this article in the New York Times has this smoking gun quote that I mentioned earlier, and I need to repeat it because it's so important, in which the former head of Ukraine's domestic intelligence agency, the SBU, says that without the CIA, without the U.S. government, quote, there would have been no way for us to resist the Russians. Now, there's also, the New York Times included photos of dead Russian soldiers in this article. I mean, again, the New York Times is an extension of the U.S. government and is very friendly to the CIA. Now, this article reveals that the CIA turned Ukraine into an intelligence gathering hub that intercepted more Russian communications than the CIA station in Kiev could initially handle. And it also notes that CIA Director William Burns has visited Ukraine 10 times in the past 2 years to reassure Ukrainian leaders. And of course, the role of Mr. Burns here, if you will, is quite insidious because, as I discussed earlier, he was the U.S. ambassador to Russia who famously wrote the 2008 embassy cable warning that NATO expansion into Ukraine would set off a civil war leading to Russian military intervention. And I have the link to that embassy cable linked in the description below. But getting back to this report in the New York Times, it notes that in 2021, Russian President Putin met with the head of one of Russia's main spy services, who told him that the CIA and Britain's spy agency, MI6, were controlling Ukraine and turning it into a beachhead for operations against Moscow. Now, what's funny about this article in the New York Times is that they portray this as an example of Putin being paranoid and Russian spy agencies being paranoid and saying that the CIA has turned Ukraine into a beachhead for anti-Russia operations. But what's hilarious is the rest of the article is proving exactly that. The rest of the article is the CIA boasting, through two loyal allies in the media of how they turned Ukraine into a beachhead for operations against Moscow, which is exactly what Russia's intelligence agencies were telling Putin. So it's correct. Now, later in this article, it notes that the former head of Ukraine's military intelligence started having regular meetings with the CIA in 2015. And before long, starting in 2015, teams of CIA officers were regularly leaving his office with backpacks full of documents on Russian intelligence, information about Russia, that is. And furthermore, this article notes that after the partnership between the CIA and Ukraine deepened in 2016, Ukraine began staging assassinations, killing pro-Russian Ukrainians. These are Ukrainian citizens who are being killed by the Ukrainian intelligence agencies with the support of the US government. And, you know, the New York Times, because it's a propaganda outlet for the US government, they say, well, the US didn't want to be involved in these operations. But as this article shows later on, the CIA was very aware of the fact that the operations that it was carrying out, the training that it was giving to Ukrainian forces had dual purpose and could be used for lethal operations. And they continued doing it because they actually didn't care. They actually supported the lethal operations, the assassinations, that is. Now, another crucial detail in this article is that the US embassy in Kiev was being used by the CIA for operations in Ukraine. And this is more evidence of exactly what I was saying earlier when I looked at the report in ABC News that revealed that the US military had special operations forces operating out of the US embassy in Ukraine. It shows that US embassies are not normal embassies used for diplomacy. Around the world, the US uses its embassies for destabilization operations to meddle in the internal affairs of foreign governments, which is why in Latin America, there has long been for decades a joke that I've heard many times. People say, why has there never been a coup in the United States? And they say, because there's no US embassy in the US. So getting back to this New York Times article, it reveals that US destabilization operations targeting Russia go back to 2014 when the democratically elected president Viktor Yanukovych was overthrown and fled. And the New York Times notes, quote, a pro-Western government quickly took power. Now, what the New York Times does not acknowledge is that the US backed a coup in Ukraine in 2014 that overthrew the elected president Yanukovych. This was revealed in a leaked phone recording in 2014 in which the former top US State Department official Victoria Nuland can be heard speaking with the former US ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Piat, who is now the undersecretary for energy affairs in the State Department under Biden. In this leaked recording from 2014, you can hear these important US officials discussing who the leaders of the Ukrainian government would be after the US-backed coup in 2014.
What do you think?
I think we're in play.
Good. So I don't think Klitsch should go into the government. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's a good idea. I think Yats is the guy who's got the economic experience, the governing experience. He's the guy, you know, what he needs is Klitsch and Tony Book on the outside. He needs to be talking to them four times a week.
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know? I think that's right. Okay, good. Well, do you want us to try to set up a call with him as the next step?
Now, of course, the New York Times is a propaganda mouthpiece for the U.S. government, and articles like this are very clearly approved by US spy agencies before they're published because they have sensitive information that is leaked to them by the spy agencies. And the New York Times has acknowledged, by the way, in the past that it, for sensitive articles, it allows the US government to review them to make sure it doesn't challenge US national security in any way. So, of course, this article in the New York Times does not mention the US-backed coup in 2014, but it shows that these US destabilization operations targeting Russia go back a decade and actually even further, but in terms of the most recent operations. Now, this article also reveals that in 2014, right after the US-backed coup in Ukraine, an unmarked U.S. government plane touched down at an airport in Kiev carrying John Brennan, the CIA director. This is an incredible revelation. After the U.S.-backed coup in Ukraine overthrew the elected president and installed a pro-Western regime, the CIA director took a secret trip to Kiev on an unmarked plane. And the article notes that actually these operations go back many decades, and following the overthrow of the Soviet Union in 1991 and Ukraine's independence, there were competing forces, political forces in Ukraine, and the U.S. was trying to recruit the forces that wanted to align with the West against Russia. So this goes back to 1991 and even before, when the CIA was involved in supporting the separatist forces inside the Soviet Union to successfully overthrow the Soviet Union. Now, this article also reveals that the CIA was helping to train a Ukrainian paramilitary unit that was deployed behind enemy lines to conduct operations and gather intelligence. And it quotes the Ukrainian Military Intelligence Agency, the HUR, and it notes that the HUR had authority to collect intelligence outside of Ukraine, including in Russia. So the CIA was involved for a decade now in helping Ukraine to carry out operations inside Russian territory, not only inside the Donbass in the eastern separatist regions of Ukraine. Now, later in this report, the New York Times reveals that the CIA operation in Ukraine was called Operation Goldfish, and it reveals that the CIA used money and equipment to build these underground bunkers in Ukraine, and they were also using it not only to hack into the Russian military's communication networks, but also Chinese and Belarusian satellites. I repeat, the CIA in Ukraine was spying on China, was hacking Chinese satellites. And what's another incredible detail in this article is the New York Times reveals why the CIA operation was called Operation Goldfish. And it notes that it was derived from a joke about a Russian-speaking goldfish who offers two Estonians wishes in exchange for its freedom. And the punchline was that one of the Estonians bashed the fish's head in with a rock, explaining that anything speaking Russian could not be trusted. So here, the New York Times is gloating, the CIA is gloating about this crazy anecdote, this joke of beating in the head of a fish that speaks Russian. So they're fantasizing about killing Russians. I mean, this is sadistic propaganda. And by the way, speaking of Estonians fantasizing about killing Russians, the Estonian Ministry of Foreign Affairs tweeted out a thread on its official Twitter account this March, on the 9th of March. And this is crazy. They portrayed the Soviet Union's liberation of Estonia from Nazi German occupation in World War II as aggression, and compared it to the war in Ukraine today, which is actually pretty funny because, you know, the Russian government has said that one of the key parts of this operation is denazification, and the West says this is propaganda. Well, here you have the government of Estonia, which is a member of NATO and a member of the European Union, on its official Twitter account, whitewashing and praising the Nazi German occupation of Estonia in the 1940s, and portraying the Soviet Union as evil for liberating it from Nazi occupation back, by the way, when the Soviet Union was ostensibly a Western ally in the fight against Nazi Germany and fascist Italy and the Japanese Empire. So in reality, we can see that actually it was the Soviet Union that defeated fascism in World War II. It was the Soviet Union that was responsible for 80% of the Nazi casualties in World War II, and liberating Berlin, and liberating the main concentration camps like Auschwitz. Those were liberated by the Soviet Red Army, not the West. And here we see that Estonia is rewriting the history of World War II to portray the Soviet Union as the villains and the Nazis as the good guys. So, I mean, when the Russian government today talks about denazification and people in the West say, we don't understand, what is this denazification? Well, I mean, this is incredible. This is Nazi glorification by EU member, NATO member Estonia in March of 2024, 80 years later. But anyway, getting back to this New York Times article that fantasizes about beating in the head of Russian speakers, this article notes that Operation Goldfish officers were deployed to 12 newly built forward operating bases constructed across the Russian border with Ukraine, and they ran networks of agents who gathered intelligence inside Russia. So these are operations backed by the CIA inside Russia, and they were training sleeper agents in Ukraine, preparing for a war against Russia. And then later in the article, it talks about the assassinations carried out by the CIA-trained Ukrainian forces. And this is important because the Obama administration claimed that it only authorized non-lethal operations in Ukraine. So the CIA and the US military claimed they were only engaged in defensive operations. However, this New York Times article reveals that the so-called defensive operations that the CIA was carrying out, training these Ukrainian forces, had dual purpose. They could be used for so-called defense, but also used for offense, for assassination operations for war against Russia and pro-Russian forces inside Ukraine. And this is exactly what happened. And the New York Times wrote, I'm reading here from the New York Times, quote, "The intent of the training was to teach defensive techniques, but CIA officers understood that without their knowledge, the Ukrainians could use the same techniques in offensive, lethal operations." And this is exactly what happened. And one of the people overseeing this was the future head of Ukraine's military intelligence, General Budanov, who was not only trained by the CIA, but the CIA sent him to the United States. He was in Maryland in the Walter Reed National Military Hospital Medical Center, and he was getting treatment from the U.S. government. So these are four Ukrainian forces trained by the CIA in the U.S. who then carried out assassinations targeting Russians and Ukrainian citizens who were in the separatist regions in the east. One of these Ukrainian commanders who was a separatist but who was a Ukrainian citizen, known as Motorola, Arseniy Pavlov, he was assassinated by these Ukrainian forces trained by the CIA. He was assassinated in an elevator, in an explosion in an elevator, and the assassins were members of the Ukrainian Fifth Directorate, which was a Ukrainian spy group that was trained by the CIA. And the assassinations continued not only under Obama, but also later on under Donald Trump. And unlike Obama, Donald Trump actually authorized the use of lethal force in Ukraine. So while, you know, these people in this ridiculous Russiagate conspiracy, they portray Trump as a so-called Russian puppet. But in reality, Trump authorized lethal operations that Obama hadn't authorized, escalating this proxy war that, of course, Biden has continued escalating today. So this is bipartisan with the support of many Republicans and many Democrats. Yes, there are a small percentage of both Republicans and some Democrats who oppose this proxy war, but the vast majority of members of both parties, including the leadership of both parties, the party establishment, strongly support this proxy war. And speaking of that, despite this ridiculous propaganda trying to portray Trump as a so-called Putin puppet, the New York Times points out that Trump put anti-Russia hawks in key positions, including Mike Pompeo, CIA director, and John Bolton as national security advisor. And these top officials in the Trump administration visited Kiev to underline their full support for the secret partnership, which expanded to include more specialized training programs and the building of additional secret bases with support from the U.S. And this article revealed, by the way, that the CIA was carrying out meetings in The Hague, in the Netherlands, with representatives from the CIA, Britain's MI6, the HUR, the Ukrainian military agency, intelligence agency, and the Dutch intelligence agency. And the New York Times reveals that the Dutch spies are a key ally of the CIA. So these Western spy agencies and Ukrainian military intelligence were meeting together in The Hague in order to plan operations as part of a, quote, secret coalition against Russia. Now, note, it's not a secret coalition to defend Ukraine or whatever the propaganda term they like to use. It is a, quote, secret coalition against Russia. They were preparing for a war with Russia. This is all, it has all been a proxy war against Russia for years. And then, of course, this leads us to 2022, this new phase of the war against Russia that began in 2014 with the US-backed coup. And then with this new phase in 2022, the Biden administration authorized spy agencies to provide intelligence support for lethal operations against Russian forces. And now the CIA and special operations forces from the US, the UK, France, Latvia, and the Netherlands have been on the ground in Ukraine helping to kill Russians. And the New York Times article notes that CIA officers were deployed to Ukrainian bases, and the CIA reviews lists of Russian targets that the Ukrainians are preparing to strike. So the CIA is directly involved not only in spying, but in killing Russians, directing this war, this proxy war between NATO and Russia in Ukrainian territory. Those are the most important details that I wanted to analyze today and provide further context. That's why here at Geopolitical Economy Report, I try to synthesize all this information in one place so you can actually understand what's going on, so you can read between the lines of this media reporting. Because again, as I've said, the New York Times is pushing a particular agenda. They are reflecting the interests of the CIA. So I'm trying to provide a more critical perspective here, an analytical lens, so we can actually understand what's going on in this proxy war between NATO and Russia in Ukraine that is being led by the United States, overseen by the CIA. On that note, I'm going to conclude. I'm Ben Norton, the editor-in-chief of Geopolitical Economy Report. Please like and subscribe to this, and please share it to help to promote it in the algorithm. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. I will see you next time.